Brothers and sisters, grace, mercy, and peace be to you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Hear the word of God. For the word of the cross is folly to those who are perishing, but to us who are being saved, it is the power of God. For it is written, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise, and the discernment of the discerning I will thwart. Where is the one who is wise? Where is the scribe? Where is the debater of this age? Has not God made foolish the wisdom of the world? For since in the wisdom of God, the world did not know God through wisdom, it pleased God through the folly of what we preach to save those who believe. For Jews demand signs and Greeks seek wisdom, but we preach Christ crucified, a stumbling block to Jews and folly to Gentiles. But to those who are called, both Jews and Greeks, Christ, the power of God and the wisdom of God. For the foolishness of God is wiser than men, and the weakness of God is stronger than men. This is God's word. Please be seated. There are so many Jesuses, right? We all have our own personal Jesus, like the Johnny Cash song goes. If you've ever had the displeasure of seeing the movie Talladega Nights, Ricky Bobby, the famous race car driver, is around the table with his wife, his two boys, Walker and Texas Ranger, and his best friend and his grandfather-in-law. And they say grace. So Ricky Bobby, the father of the household, says grace. And he prays to his own personal Jesus. He prays to baby Jesus. This is the Jesus who he likes best. The Christmas Jesus, the baby Jesus, is who Ricky Bobby prays to. And then they all go around the table talking about who their favorite Jesus is. I think Walker's favorite Jesus was Jesus, the Jesus that fights ninjas, or is a ninja and fights the enemies, the bad guys. And then his other son, I can't quite remember what he said, but then his best friend, he says, I like to think of my Jesus as wearing one of those tuxedo t-shirts. You know, one of those t-shirts where it looks like you're formal, but you're also ready to party. That's my Jesus. That's my favorite Jesus. And so they go around all having their own personal Jesus. So let me tell you a story. Jane was having some problems in her life. Quite naturally, she turned to her friends for help and advice. One friend told her she should get to know Jesus, that he would help her with her problems. So Jane set out on a quest to know Jesus. And Jane liked what she found. She attended a church service where Jesus gave people power to do miraculous things, and where the name Jesus puts a smile on everyone's face. She listened to Christian radio, where she heard about a Jesus who helped people when they were down, and who was worthy of praise because of his power and his holiness. She even read a couple of books about how Jesus could help her get her finances straightened out, her family life fixed up. She even took up the 40-day Jesus fast for Lent to help her shed those extra pounds. After she felt as if she had come to know Jesus pretty well, Jane started reading books about how she was to live out her life according to the principles of Jesus' life. Jane was becoming so close to Jesus that she began to tell other people about how Jesus had helped her in her life. Every day, people like Jane are hellbound because they believe in the wrong Jesus. They believe in the Christ who mends their broken hearts, broken relationships, and broken lives. And it must be said that Christ certainly does do those things. But they fail to see why and in what way Christ mends their broken lives. They fail to believe in the Christ whose heart was broken on the cross, whose relationship with his Father was broken on the cross, and whose life was broken by bitter pain and agony of bearing our sins on the cross. There's nothing so offensive as this. Nothing so foolish as Christ on the cross. The most important person who has ever lived who has ever walked the face of the earth, is also the most hated. Ask a Muslim about Jesus, and they'll gladly admit to you that he was a great prophet of Allah, and even that he was born of the Virgin Mary. But then show them this. This Jesus up on a crucifix. And talk about how he's true God and true man. And talk about the forgiveness of sins. And your status as an infidel will quickly be confirmed as he pronounces the Shahada. There is no God except Allah, and Muhammad, peace be upon him, is his servant and messenger. And Jews, they strip Jesus of any honor whatsoever as they pronounce their Shema. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. Recently in Florida, Jesus' name was written on a bunch of pieces of paper, and then they were stomped on by students under the instruction of their university professor. And ironically, in 1987, the artist Andres Serrano showed us what the world really thinks of Jesus on the cross. In one of his pieces of high art that was praised by art critics, Andres filled a glass container full of his own urine and then submerged a crucified Jesus in it. But enough with that. The world hates the crucified Christ. It's foolishness to them. And this is obvious. But what about us? What about you? If someone asked you to describe to them what a good sermon is, what Christianity is all about, what would you say? What kind of Jesus do you want preached? Would it be the sentimental Christ? That sweet and kind Jesus who really tugs at your heartstrings, who just loves you so much? Or maybe you'd like the moralistic Christ. Do this. Or perhaps the Christ who will give you an emotional high. Or would you rather have the crucified Christ preached? The one who has been preached by all the prophets and all the apostles and all the faithful as a witness for all times, a witness for all people, with sublime monotony. The church has been speaking this to everybody alike, the same message to all, to everyone the testimony of what once happened at the time of Pontius Pilate. Do you get fed up with this sublime monotony? Do you ever find yourself wishing that I would stand up here and tell you stories, real tearjerkers, that I would give you some task to go out and fulfill this week? Would you like me to emotionally manipulate you so that you feel a Jesus that will carry you through the week? Or would you once again hear the only truly moving story, Christ crucified for sinners? The message of the church is not Christ the helper, Christ the family strengthener, Christ the success giver, Christ the money manager, Christ the friend, or Christ the co-pilot. The central message of the church is summed up by St. Paul in two words, Christ crucified. That is our message. And if that is not our central message, our primary message, the message that we hear and teach and preach over and over and over again, we are preaching a false Christ, a false gospel, a false God. Many people would be very happy walking right over the dead corpse of Jesus on the cross to move on to bigger and better things, but not us. We preach Christ crucified. That's Martin Luther up there in that picture. What's he doing? Pointing to Christ crucified. Christ crucified, is that the Christ in whom you believe? The devil likes nothing better than to direct our focus off the crucified Christ to a perverted Christ, to a Christ divorced from the cross, a Christ who makes more sense to us 21st century American Christians. But Paul writes this, "For the word of the cross to those who are perishing is foolishness, but to us who are being saved, it is the power of God." We don't preach the cross as if to say, see, now doesn't that make sense? No, we simply preach the cross. We proclaim the truth of a bloody dead God on a bloody dead tree shaped like a T. That is our message. Foolishness. If the cross makes sense to you, you have not yet begun to truly understand it. The cross of the crucified God transcends all sense. It is the message about a holy and righteous God who let us poor, miserable sinners nail him to a piece of wood so that he might bleed and die for our salvation. It is the message about a first century Jew from a village in Israel who was crucified by some Roman soldiers for some unknown crime. It is the message about a man who is also God, a sacrifice who is also a priest, about a lamb who is also a shepherd, and a master who is also a servant. It was about a defeat that was also a victory. And that is our message. And that is not the message that our friend Jane heard. That is not the message that many churchgoers hear today. But it is the message you will always hear with sublime monotony, over and over and over again from this pulpit, because we preach Christ crucified. And what a message it is to preach. What a message to hear. The very message that the unbelieving world regards as stupidity and foolishness, we know to be life and salvation and joy. Paul a little later on writes this: "But God has chosen the foolish things in the world to shame the wise. God has chosen what is weak in the world to shame the strong. God has chosen what is low and despised in the world, even things that are not, to bring to nothing things that are." And that's always the way of our God, to use the things that the world considers foolish and weak and despised to accomplish the most miraculous. God the Father sends his eternal Son down to be born of a young Jewish girl in a dirty stable in a village of Bethlehem. God the Son takes on flesh and blood so that he might sweat, cry, bleed, eat, drink, and suffer with the rest of humanity. Foolishness. God the Father sets up the murder of his own Son. On a common Roman cross, God hangs and dies that he might pay the penalty for our sins. God the Father raises his Son back to life, not with pomp and circumstance, but when no one is even watching. Foolishness. God will add his powerful word to common water from the faucet of our sacristy to bring Carly Bainfeld into this kingdom today. He adds his powerful word to common bread and wine to give us the eternal, life-giving body and blood of his Son. Foolishness. Jesus never ceases to be the crucified Christ and the resurrected Christ. He never ceases to be the one who continually draws us to his cross and passion and empty tomb. He never ceases to be the one who gives us life and forgiveness and grace in his precious gospel and sacraments. But back to the story of our friend Jane. About a year later, Jane was tragically diagnosed with stage 4 breast cancer. Jane came to realize that she didn't know Jesus at all. All the sermons she had heard, all the books she had read, everything she had told people about her Jesus had been about a false Christ. In her room, in hospice care, she took out the Gideon's Bible from the drawer. And she opened up to 1 Corinthians. She read this: "For the word of the cross is folly to those who are perishing, but to us who are being saved, it is the power of God. Has not God made foolish the wisdom of the world? For since in the wisdom of God, the world did not know God through wisdom, it pleased God through the folly of what we preach to save those who believe. For Jews demand signs and Greeks seek wisdom, but we preach Christ crucified." For the first time, Jane knew who Jesus was. Christ crucified. Jane died later that week. And in heaven, Jane appeared before Jesus. The crucified Christ took her and pulled her into his spear-stabbed bosom and wrapped his nail-spiked hands around her. And he said to her, "Jane, I give you eternal life, and you will never perish, and no one will ever snatch you out of my hand." We who have been misled into following false Christs, come to the true Christ and receive true and complete forgiveness. We who have broken hearts, broken relationships, and broken lives, come to the Christ who was broken by the cross and receive from Him peace, life, and healing. We who have modernized Christ by divorcing Him so far from the cross, confess that sin, and we hear Him say, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." There is no true, lasting, heavenly joy outside of a crucified Christ. For there is no Christ outside of the crucifixion. Their sin is destroyed, their forgiveness is won, their death is vanquished, and the gift of life is yours. So for all the Janes of the world, for all the hurting, the crying, the needy, the lost, the poor, the downtrodden, for me, for you, there is only one message, one hope, one Christ, one gospel, Christ crucified. Amen. And so be it. Now may the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, guard and keep your minds in the one true faith to life everlasting. Amen.